Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show on this Thursday. Bill Ryder with you. My last day filling in over the course of these 2 weeks that Jim is gone. Brian Weber, very talented dude, will be in tomorrow. And Jim will be back on Monday. It's been a blast being here. We got a great show planned for you. And that show, as it always is, this program, is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I've said this a lot on the show. You've experienced it in its entirety the last 3 or 4 months or whatever the hell we're at in this pandemic life. It's been a weird 2020. It's been a strange time. And I'm not going to go all Ed Orgeron here or the SEC commissioner and pretend we need sports. We need heroes from sports. We need heroes from doctors and nurses. And those of you doing that work out there, God bless you and thank you. But I am looking forward to getting back to some actual competitions that matter. And we've got some of those today. And they offer some glimpses, some echoes of what we're going to have in a week or two. Great golf showdown today. Tiger Woods, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy teeing off together about an hour and 15 minutes from this very moment in my wife's home state of beautiful Ohio. And look, I'm a bad golfer. I'm a big golf fan. I will watch golf when it's on in normal times. I'm going to be obsessed with it later today when I get home. And I'm obviously one of those guys like a lot of you that will watch any of the majors. I'm also, and I will watch golf without Tiger Woods. I'm into it. I'm a Tiger fan separate from that. And to be able to experience Tiger and Koepka and Rory doing their thing together, look, it ain't the Masters. It ain't the Open Championship across the pond with our good friends who drink Guinness like we drink water. It ain't any of those. I get it. But it's going to feel, in the magnitude of the star power, like what we're going to get in a few weeks. A week when baseball gets going. 2 weeks, actually, from today when the NBA gets going. And the promise and the hope of the National Football League. I still don't think we will or should have college football. But I'm in. Give me some sports. Give me something to root for. Do it in a way that feels right and feels safe. Hell, I talked last week about how a year ago, you wouldn't have caught me watching a soccer match. And now, if I were to rank the sports I enjoy the most, it might be up there. Barcelona's playing today. A few hours from now, I'll watch it on delay. Real Madrid. Isn't that the amazing thing about sports? I got no issue with the city of Madrid. I went to Madrid 20 years ago. I was a kid. I drank a lot. I had fun. Seemed like nice people. I hate that town now. I hate that team. I want every one of those guys to pull hamstrings. I love the passion of sports and the anger and the frustration it brings out. And I'm going to get a little taste of that in the soccer realm today. But the reality is, both Tiger, Koepka, McIlroy, some of the soccer I'm going to watch, some of the news we're going to get into here on the show over the course of the program today, it is an appetizer. It is a reminder we're getting sports back. And just all I can do, along with the rest of you, is to hope that they continue. Hope they continue. Maybe an hour from now, I'm going to give you my take on why I actually love the Derrick Henry signing by the Titans. 4 years, $50 million, about half of that guaranteed. I know. You Rams fans are shaking your head and already mouthing the words I'm about to say. You're not supposed to give big contracts to running backs, especially running backs in their mid-20s or beyond. But I think Mike Vrabel's a special coach, something I've talked about here on this show and the times that I filled in and the show that I used to do in the evenings here on CBS Sports Radio. And for me, the Henry signing is an investment in not just Ryan Tannehill, who they gave a bunch of money to, but Mike Vrabel on a team I think is very, very close. Obscured by a Chiefs team that sucked all the oxygen out of the room and dominated the narrative. But I like the move. We'll get into that. We've got some great guests on the program today. Sam Amick, I think he is, for my money, I like rankings. My wife gets mad at me. I like ranking everything but our kids. Love you both, Henry Mallon, equally. I think Sam Amick's a top two or three NBA writer, reporter in the country. Does his thing for The Athletic. He'll be on the show at the end of this hour. Jock Peterson, Dodgers outfielder, is going to be on the program in the second hour. I love that, dude. I like that Dodgers team a lot. And I know if they're lucky And if they live up to expectations, they're destined to be the Red Sox. That would-be superpower you root for until they win one, and then they win 3 out of 9, and you hate them. But for the moment, I like the Dodgers I'm rooting for them, and I think their fans, I know their fans, I live in L.A., deserve a World Series. They deserve it. We'll visit with Jock Peterson about that pressure and just all the oddities of playing baseball in this shortened season, which starts in a week. Mark Medina also covers the NBA, does it for USA Today, is going to join us from the bubble. He's trapped in his little hotel room. And Mark's a good dude. But Mark, you know, like some of us, like a lot of us writers, he's a different kind of cat. Really curious where his headspace is at, trapped in a hotel room on, I think, day 3 of 10. We'll find out together on National Radio on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. And Dan Orlovsky, who is blown up as an analyst. I think he's a very talented guy. Well, former quarterback. We'll talk some NFL with us here on the show at the end of the program, final hour. We got some breaking news, and I want to start here. And we don't have all the details that would be required to give you a take. Breaking news. The NBA, and we've discussed this a lot, is doing everything it can to create an environment that is the most likely to succeed for not just restarting sports, but keeping them going. Doesn't mean it's going to work. Hope it's going to work. And there are sort of two parts to this thing. Not sort of. There are two parts to this thing. One is the bubble they've created, and can it be effective? And the other is, are players going to allow it to be effective? What is it like to be trapped with LeBron James in a hotel room for 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks? It could be hell on earth. I'm going to be honest with you. Michael Beasley, not that he's a superstar, but reportedly not going to return. Well, the first guy who's left, and we don't know why, we're told it's family matters, but big breaking news just in the last maybe 10 minutes. Zion Williamson, one of the two reasons we've got for the first time in NBA history a 9-seed scenario, has left the bubble, has left the team. Pelicans have sent out a note, and all we know, according to New Orleans, is that their young superstar has left the bubble for family, personal, medical reasons. And I don't know what it is. If there is a dire medical emergency, if a loved one is in trouble, obviously thoughts and prayers go out to Zion Williamson. I'm not going to pass judgment on his lack of commitment or otherwise because I don't know why he's leaving. Look, I love filling in for Jim, and I talked about it a lot. It is the ultimate opportunity and honor in this business. But if I got a call about a loved one who was in some kind of health crisis, I'm leaving the studio right now. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Adam Hawk's going to do tennis talk for the next 2.5 hours, which we're going to do at the end of the show. I do have a tennis story. I know you guys wait with bated breath. I read the tweets. I get it. We gotta tease that out. But Zion leaving means Zion almost certainly will not be back. Not only is it almost certain he will not be back for game one, which is 2 weeks from today. They open against Utah. And by the way, quick aside, how snake bit has the NBA been on going all in on the Pelicans? I know it feels like it was 10 years and two alternate universes ago, but remember when the NBA season got underway last fall and it felt like every other nationally televised game was the New Orleans Pelicans because everyone wanted to see Zion, only Zion didn't play. So it was a G League team basically rolled out there and struggling mightily. They did it again. They kicked off their restart with Jazz Pelicans and Zion went away. What this is going to do is it's going to test the NBA's resolve in a very serious way to make sure their quarantine rules are their quarantine rules. Look, if some random, and no offense to the Kings, no name, can go get a pizza and have to quarantine for 10 days, Zion Williamson, whatever the reason, leaving the bubble, doesn't get to come back, pass a couple tests, and play. He can't. And if we're being honest about why there's this silly 9-seed opportunity, and for those of you who don't know, or as a refresher, normally in the NBA, 8 teams in the Eastern Conference, 8 teams in the Western Conference, using my remarkable math skills, 16 teams overall play in the playoffs. That's it. That's the deal. This year, one team in the East and a handful of teams in the West will have the opportunity, if they're within 4 games of the 8 seed, to be the 9 seed. And they have to win 2 games, whereas the 8 seed only has to win 1, to advance the best of 7 slaughterhouse opportunity against presumably the Bucks or the Lakers. There are 2 reasons, and 2 reasons only, that these 9 seeds exist. One, and I'm not mad at him, a lot of people were. One is because Damian Lillard, who is a talented dude, who knew that roster was going to get healthy, said, "I ain't playing, I ain't going back if we can't make the playoffs." And that Portland team wasn't going to race in 8 games, a 3.5-game deficit. But Portland, Trailblazers, Sacramento, which actually an interesting team, and the team that really Adam Silver wants badly, at least in that play-in playoff situation, if not the best of seven, is Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. That is why. Damian Lillard complaining. Sure, right? They made a conference finals last year, and Lillard's a star, and I'm really sorry, Portland. By the way, Portland fans, I love your city. I want to retire there. Love you. But when Dame is a Laker in 3 years, he'll be the superstar that his talent suggests that he should be. I don't want him to go, but I think that's where he's going. Dame's part of it, but Zion Williamson is the reason that Adam Silver and the NBA utterly recalibrated how the postseason works. He didn't have to do it. You could have taken the 16 teams. You could have had some warm-up games. You get a longer training camp. You got to televise some of these things because of the rights and trying to make some money and rolled out the playoffs. They're doing this as a way to try to get Zion Williamson in. And every game that he misses makes it exponentially more difficult for the Pelicans to be within those 4 games. And not just within the 4, they got to be better than the Kings, and they got to be better than Portland. And then they got to beat a Memphis team twice that's really good. I understand that Zion's the real deal. He is. And I was skeptical when he came out of college because hype doesn't usually equal that kind of success, and because Duke kids tend to be remarkably, remarkably soft. They just do. When Zion got back from injury, in that short glimpse of what his greatness can be, what we saw was legit. I still think Ja Morant could be the better pro. That's a hell of a series, Memphis-New Orleans, if we were going to get it. We're probably not now. Zion Williamson leaving the bubble. And again, emergencies happen. I'm not going to judge the dude. Whatever you do for a living, you do radio, you sell insurance, you're a teacher, you play in the NBA, even when you travel, like obviously NBA players do, there's the opportunity to balance your personal life and your professional life. If you are LeBron James or Giannis or Zion or Dame and something crops up in your personal life that is difficult, that weighs on you, that is private, you can handle that. You're going to be home half the time. You've got money. You can fly where you got to fly. The NBA is full of stories of not even stars, just guys getting private jets from very wealthy owners and flying on off days across the country in those private jets to take care of personal business. You're in a bubble, you can't do that. And that's the other concern and challenge of the bubble. What if your girlfriend or your wife calls you and you're an NBA player and says, you know what, I'm done. Marriage is done. I'm over this. I caught you cheating. You're going to leave the bubble? You're going to stay with your team. What if your kids, and this happens to all of us as parents, are going through something, are struggling, need you in their lives? And what if whatever's going on with Zion goes on with somebody else? This is the other challenge of the bubble. The less freedom you give these guys, the safer, and I do think it makes them safer. Safe is a different question altogether. We'll find out. The safer you make them, the more you isolate these dudes. If it turns out that Zion's leaving for reasons that don't make sense, I am sure that you will hear people crush that dude. And if it happens in the next 2.5 hours, I'll join the chorus. And if Zion's leaving for the reasons that we think, and again, we don't know. Zion Williamson, last 15 minutes, announced that he's left the bubble. But he's not going to play against Utah. In theory, the guy could come back tomorrow, come back to Orlando, quarantine again, test negative twice, and get out there. But what this is a huge black mark against the NBA. And it does undercut in some ways what Adam Silver's put out there on the floor. The Brooklyn Nets are going to be a disgrace of a basketball team because of the guys that opted out. And look, I understand these are difficult, trying times. I get it. That doesn't change reality. When the Brooklyn Nets play basketball, it's going to be a joke. It's going to insult your intelligence as a basketball fan. It's going to be, I don't think the Nets are going to win a game of their 8 games down there in Orlando. Except maybe the game against Washington, who also lacks all of its stars, with Bradley Beal decided not to play. And New Orleans is a interesting team without Zion. They're also a bad team without Zion. You've got 3 of the 22 teams so far that aren't worth your time or my time. Is that Adam Silver's fault? Not necessarily. But maybe, just maybe, you don't invite a bunch of extra teams and you just get to it. All right, 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com, at Jim Rome, jimrome.com, and at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Look, to the thousands of you who are tweeting at me how much you love having me fill in and want me to talk tennis the whole 3 hours, thank you. But I can't do that. I can't do tennis the whole time. Adam Hawk and I will do it at the end of the show. I'll update you on the Bill Ryder Amateur Tennis Extravaganza that exactly three of you care about. I'm looking forward to it very, very much. Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is a complicated guy. You know when people joke about things or they're actually telling the truth? Doc Rivers did that yesterday. Maybe he's the guy that ratted out LeBron James. We'll get into that in a moment here when we come back to the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. In about 20 minutes, Sam Amick is going to be on the show to talk some hoops. Sam writes for The Athletic. I believe, and I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's contractually required that 70% of all sports writers in America now write for The Athletic. And Sam is one of those guys. Really great reporter, based out here on the West Coast. Good dude. He is as plugged in as anybody. And I think you'll enjoy and appreciate the insights he brings to the program here in a little bit. By the way, the game that I love and the game you love is back tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. CBS Sports Network serves you up an ace as some of the hottest names in tennis hold court together. It's World Team Tennis on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. No, those names are not Bill Ryder and Adam Hawk. But who knows? You can always dream. So, you know that situation, and it can be awkward or it can be likable, where someone has a joke about you or about a colleague, but you know they're actually telling the truth. I hate you. You know that sort of vibe? Doc Rivers is the master of this, and I don't want to get it twisted because Doc is a likable guy and a really talented coach, and I think as importantly or more importantly, remarkable at building a unique culture around the unique personalities that he has. I don't think people appreciate the difficulty of navigating Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan just as a mix. Obviously, on the floor, there was a lot of talent there, but that was a combustible trifecta of dudes. And I thought Doc Rivers handled it really effectively. However, Doc is one of those guys. He's not Don Johnson from Tin Cup, because that'd be bad guy territory. But Doc Rivers is a guy that's got an edge to him. He's got some sharp elbows, and he masks it with some candor and with some humor and a lot of charm. And so when yesterday Doc Rivers joked about how he's going to rat out everybody, he's going to call the rat line. And if you missed this, the NBA in the bubble has a number you can call, 1-800, do you want to rat out your colleagues, I think is somewhere in that range, if someone's broken a rule or you're concerned they haven't operated under the bubble. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's like press 1 if you have a complaint, press 2 if you have a concern, press 3 if you're Chris Paul. I think that is at the actual menu of options. And Rivers joked, yeah, I called in, I complained about LeBron. I'm going to complain about Pop. And everyone, and I get it, wrote, oh, Doc's so funny. No, man. Doc is literally calling and complain about LeBron James, and complain about Pop. Because that's what guys like that do to get an edge. I think the Clippers are going to win the NBA championship this year. And I say that, you know, the NBA has more of a fog of war, a fog of uncertainty is what I should call it, this time around than any time in the history of the sport. It is an absolute impossibility to know what's going to happen, who's not going to function well in the bubble, who's going to leave the bubble, who's going to get coronavirus, COVID-19, have to sit out. Zion Williamson, yesterday, was one of the bright lights of sports returning in this country and one of the guys for Adam Silver where he saw dollar signs when he looked at the games that team was going to play. And you and I could not have foresaw on any level that Zion was going to leave the bubble in the last hour, at least the announcement came out in the last 30 minutes, for family reasons. And again, we don't have the details, but it's not a huge stretch. It's not a gigantic leap to suggest that whatever's going on might have been something you could manage if you were playing games at home in New Orleans and you were playing games every 2 or 3 days and you're able to, if you're Zion, get to your loved ones and deal with what's going on. You can't do that in a bubble. If you need to be around someone that you love who has an issue, who has a problem, as reportedly Zion's dealing with a medical situation with a loved one, and you're in a bubble, you either stay or you go. So who knows who's going to win this thing? But in a vacuum, which we're not going to have, but in a vacuum, I think the Clippers are the team to beat. There's something about Kawhi and the remark. If you get into the details of what Kawhi Leonard has done, second youngest finals MVP in the history of the sport behind a guy named Magic Johnson, when Magic had maybe the most impressive performance in NBA history, where he played all five positions in a critical game because Kareem got hurt. That was with the Spurs. Then, before Kawhi got hurt, remember that Warriors team that was almost unbeatable? That Spurs team was going to take them all the way to seven, maybe beat them. They were up in that first game, if memory is serving. I think it is. When Kawhi got hurt in that game, Warriors came back, won that game, and blew them out the rest of the series. And I remember at the time thinking, wow, like Kawhi Leonard has sort of evolved into this remarkable and over-the-top winner who says weird things like Bucket Man gets paid, Board Man gets paid, and buckets, 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 who is monosyllabic in interviews, who takes sitting out and protecting his body to an extreme, but has somehow harnessed all of that into this basketball ninja postseason warrior. And then he went to the Raptors, and because I was wrong, I thought, oh, it's not going to happen this time. It's the Raptors. They'll make a conference finals or semifinals and do what they do. And what they did is win the whole thing. I know they got some help with injuries. I get it against the Warriors, but they got it done. Kawhi Leonard's going to do this exact same thing with the Clippers this year. And it's going to be a thing to watch. And if you're Doc Rivers, why not throw in a little bit of help? Why not just keep a few eyes on LeBron? Really interesting, I thought. After Doc Rivers joked about this, and I think this is part of the gamesmanship of things is critical. It really is. The psychological warfare that goes on in sports is a real thing. After Doc Rivers made his little joke, non-joke about ratting out people like LeBron and Pop, a bunch of Lakers talked to the media. And what they said was, we got to be more careful. We know all the eyes are on us. We know people are watching us. We just got to, you know, you decide not to go get a little fresh air outside because you don't want to be within 10 feet of the bubble. You feel eyes on you when you're already trapped inside some Disney hellscape version of a basketball playoff scenario. Anything you can do to put the focus on the Lakers and make the Lakers focus on the fact that they can't get away from LeBron and all of his angst and energy, I think it's incredibly significant. Another thing I want to hit before we get to Sam Amick, and just keep an eye on this. Buddy of mine made this point. I wish I thought of it. I didn't. One of the quiet things that's not said out loud about the NBA is the remarkable level of cheating that goes on with tampering. The CBA and how it's constructed is done in a way that is supposed to give smaller markets more than a fighting chance to retain their talent and build winners. If you're in a place like Milwaukee, if you're in a place like Portland, you, at least in theory, have the opportunity to retain guys like Giannis and Damian Lillard for the course of their careers because you can offer the extra year. You can offer the extra money, and you hope that some of the other parameters the CBA is built around gives you the chance to surround those guys with the kind of talent that make them want to stay where they are because they believe they can win championships. And this idea, that this optimism that's necessary for smaller NBA markets to have a chance, it was pushed back a few years just by the oddity of the situation of the Warriors drafting the right three guys and then the BRI, which is basketball-related income, skyrocketing from these television deals, and Kevin Durant being the most, sorry, KD, spineless superstar talent of all time, being like, I want to go join those guys. By the way, I don't normally care if a grown man does what he wants to do, but come on, you're up 3-1, and you collapse, you go join that team, but different story, different day. Today, you have the opportunity, because we've kind of gotten where the CBA was supposed to operate without that anomaly, but the thing that gets in the way is that LeBron will call up his buddies and recruit them, and Kawhi will go. I mean, Paul George shouldn't be a Clipper. He was under contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I love how much Adam Hawk loves your suffering, Oklahoma fans. If it makes you feel better, he's from Seattle guy, Seattle fan, and you did steal that team. But that is a crock of horse manure. It just is, and it's because Kawhi wanted it to happen. Think about the remarkable level of collusion that is going to go on in this bubble. You're stuck in hotels with the same guys. And LeBron, love him or hate him, is the Frank Sinatra of the NBA. Is he insufferable sometimes? Yes. Does he insist on having all the limelight on him? Yes. But he's still about having a group and a rat pack and guys that he trusts. LeBron's a relationship guy. If I'm a GM, forget ratting out, forget Doc Rivers ratting out LeBron on the rat line. I don't want LeBron playing ping pong with my stars, with my players. I won't want Zion to come back. Not there, I said it. I'm David Griffin. Keep Zion away from LeBron James in the bubble. Keep him with his family in his emergency, because the relationships that guys like LeBron James creates, or Giannis creates today, is tomorrow's tampering. I'm not mad at M. Silver. It is what it is. We're in bizarre, bizarre, bizarro times. But I'm telling you, super teams that are going to dominate the NBA or have a chance to in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, they're going to form in this bubble. It's like any other profession. You get to know people, you're around people, you get comfortable with people, and you recruit people. So for those of you small market teams that have some superstars in this bubble, watch out. And Bucks fans, you should be so thankful the Warriors didn't make the playoffs this year. Because there's some colleagues at CBSSports.com who push this fallacy. Everybody who tries to tell you, that's just the arrogant Golden State media. No, man. The Warriors, the same people, and I didn't believe them, I do now, same people that told me Golden State had a chance at Durant 2 years before it happened are telling me they have the same chance at Giannis. Be thankful that Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay aren't hanging out playing ping pong with Giannis Antetokounmpo. But some of those kind of things are going to happen, and you're going to see massive tampering come out of this bubble because life is unfair and it is what it is. Sam Amick, super talented NBA writer, national NBA guru for The Athletic, going to join me here on the program in a moment. I'm Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim Rome. We'll get to Sammy just after we get this CBS Sports Radio update with...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder with you. Happy Thursday. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching on CBS Sports Network or listening on CBS Sports Radio. You know, my next guest is not just, as I said earlier, one of the absolute best NBA writers in the country and a great guy. He also played an important role in my life. You West Coasters will understand this. He is the person I hung out with, I was with, who took me for the first time in my life to In-N-Out Burger. Memory serves, I think his car got locked in a parking lot. This gentleman and Brian Windhorst and I, and that's when I experienced the first of 700 double-doubles, which has not served my body well. Sam Amick from The Athletic. Hello, sir. How are you?
Bill, good afternoon, good morning. I'm doing great. I'm glad your arteries are holding up, buddy. I don't want to be responsible for that. You know what I mean?
I blame you, but I also thank you. Sam, we've got a little breaking news in the last hour. I know we don't know a lot, but Zion Williamson has left the bubble. Any indication beyond the statement from the Pelicans about what might be going on here?
No, obviously it's fresh. I mean, not from my standpoint, but now, of course, it's the timeline game in terms of, you know, we know the rules here. And if somebody leaves, you're talking about, I don't have it in front of me, I believe a 10-day return quarantine. And so, you know, now you're pushing into Pelican scrimmages. And, I think he would be back in time for the start of the end of the regular season, but, you know, we'll see. First and foremost, you know, thoughts with his family for whatever they're going through. Something compelled him to decide that it was worth leaving the campus to go be with his family. And in these times, you know, sadly, we can probably guess what's going on here. So beyond that, for NBA business, it's obviously not good. Let's say this is something where he needs to spend more time away than anticipated. You know, Zion Williamson was the biggest ticket item in these Orlando playoffs, you know what I mean? And the league would love nothing more than to see, you know, him in primetime, you know, making people tune in. And so that's a big blow on the business front, potentially.
Sam Amick here on the program on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. Sam on Twitter, Sam_Amick. Subscribe to The Athletic like I do. The content's incredible. including, of course, Sam's work on the NBA. Sam, I was going to ask you this question before the Zion news, and now that the Zion news affects it, I guess it's just more uncertainties that shape the NBA in a way that certainly hasn't been true in my adult lifetime. When you look at the Western Conference and those teams that have a reasonable chance at trying to get that 9 seed and earn the right, presumably to play Memphis for a got-to-win-two-to-get-in to that 8 spot situation, who do you like, and what is your level of confidence that we'll have an 8-versus-9 game?
You know, it's tough to tell on whether or not we're going to have them. I mean, I would think so, because you have to get within 3.5 games, and you know that's about where they are right now. And Portland, all of a sudden, they were the popular pick to be a sleeper team to begin with, because they got Yusuf Nurkic back and Zach Collins, two big guys that you know mainstream fans might not have heard of, but they're really important for what the Trailblazers do, and you got Damian Lillard, you got CJ McCollum, and so now all of a sudden, not only do the Blazers get guys back that are big time for them, but the Kings, who are another threat in that group, lose De'Aaron Fox to an ankle injury. They're going to reevaluate him in 7 to 10 days. I mean, that one seems like it could be a longer injury, and then you got the Zion Williamson factor. So Portland's stock keeps rising, and I think the fun part potentially for the fans and folks watching is just that is a team that obviously got to the conference finals last year and that has a level of confidence. And I mean, Damian Lillard's already said, you know, on record that he thinks they could beat the Lakers. And I don't necessarily agree with him, but I think, you know, that sort of drama, you know, could make the first round really interesting if they get in.
Sam Amick, do you think that Portland team could take the Lakers to 6 in an open round series?
Maybe, because, I mean, first of all, I just have no clue how they're looking right now from a chemistry standpoint. But Nurkic, I'm a believer in. He was a monster last year before he got hurt, the year prior, rather. And, you know, I've seen them play at a very high level. The thing with the Lakers is, you know, Avery Bradley decides to opt out. Rajon Rondo has the thumb injury. The hits keep coming for the Lakers. Yesterday I was on their Zoom call where Coach Frank Vogel was asked about Markieff Morris, another kind of key addition that was supposed to be in their rotation. And it seems pretty clear now that Markieff is not in Orlando. And, you know, I think they'll get him back. It does sound like, you know, that's the plan. But they've just had more setbacks than most teams. And the Dwight Howard factor, where Dwight ends up deciding to play. But, you know, just a lot of uncertainty with their rotation. So, you know, those types of vulnerabilities, if you're Damian Lillard and that's what you feast off of, you know he's going to be coming for you. So I think it could be a decent series.
Sam Amick here on the Jim Rome Show. Sam, you're based on the West Coast. You spent a lot of time around that Kings organization, and they were fun to watch this year. You referenced the De'Aaron Fox injury, and we'll see where that goes. But looking down the line, what is your confidence level in De'Aaron Fox actually getting to a level of superstardom, of perennial all-star, and that Kings team being a playoff team over the next few years?
To be determined. You know, the major question mark. I do like De'Aaron's game, like the direction he's going in. I don't know that I'm ready to call him a perennial all-star. He almost, to me, you know, right now the projection, and this is a pretty good one, is, you know, is almost a Mike Conley type legacy at this point, where, you know, you're a borderline all-star and you don't get the votes every year. And we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he can elevate to that next level. But the problem for them that's got to get solved in the next year or so is that Marvin Bagley III has been so injury prone that they just don't know what they have with those two guys as the cornerstones of their young core. And if that's not it, you know, then that's a problem. Now, of course, the backstory that makes Kings, you know, still lose sleep, Kings fans lose sleep at night, is that, you know, you picked Marvin over Luka Doncic. And so that's, unfortunately for those guys, the kind of the context in which they're competing. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what direction they're going to go. They had some okay moments this year, but if you remember, the whole first half of their season was very disappointing.
Sam Amick here on the show. You bring up Luka Doncic, who obviously is a remarkable talent, and that's a Mavericks team that has one of the better road records in the NBA before everything shut down. And again, I understand everything is uncertain, and we don't know a lot about what teams are going to look like and conditioning. But talking to sources, Sam, and your own expertise covering the sport for so long, do you have a sense how a neutral court is going to play as it relates to teams that were good at home, teams that were bad at home, teams that were good on the road, no fans? Who has the advantage, as best we can guess at it, in Orlando?
I mean, it's obviously, it's hard to tell, right? Because we just don't know what it's going to look and feel like. We've never seen something like this before. But it's funny, you know, talking about the Mavs, Bill, Rick Carlisle, their coach, was on his Zoom call yesterday, and he was actually sharing a few details about, I guess the Mavs got a little sneak peek at one of the venues where the games are going to be yesterday, where they got to see some of the little kind of gadgets and gimmicks that the league is doing to spice up that atmosphere. And when he was asked about the fans, he was like, well, you know, there's going to be fans there. They're just going to be virtual. And he's trying to almost kind of sell himself on it. But you know, they're going to try to make it feel, like a home game. That's impossible to do. So I don't know how that translates to the competition. You know, Donovan Mitchell is another guy who was asked about it. And he basically said, listen, we've all played in open gyms before. We're going to be getting after it. It's just you guys are going to hear everything you didn't hear before. So I don't think anybody has an edge. I mean, you're talking about neutral site all the way through. I think the one thing that on that front that will be really interesting to watch is that in these playoff series, typically, as you know, when one team maybe goes up 2-0, you know, that other team is then saying, well, at least we get to go home. You know, I think we could maybe have some really ugly game threes, you know, where you don't have that psychological boost of going back home, and maybe the team that's up 2-0 just absolutely, you know, obliterates the team that is kind of spiritually already out of it. So, you know, that'll be fun to watch too.
Sam Amick here on the Jim Rome Show. Sam, national NBA writer extraordinaire for The Athletic on Twitter, Sam_Amick. Again, Sam, with everything that we think we know, I know it's all guesswork here in a way that it isn't normally. When you look at this upcoming postseason, who's the better team based in Los Angeles, Clippers or Lakers?
Right now, I'm going to give it to the Clippers. I have been a big believer and still am in kind of the power of LeBron and his level of focus right now. I mean, the fact that he seems later in his career to be so talented when it comes to just being present and trying to not let any of these moments get away from him. And I think that matters a lot, not to get all Zen master on you, Bill, but like I think it matters. And so there's a power that comes with that because it's contagious within their locker room, and they really do seem to have a pretty special chemistry between them and their teammates. But the Clippers have got some bad boys on their squad, and Paul George is healthier now than he was a couple months ago. He talked about that recently. I think that's really significant because really, you know, he had played below his, you know, elite standard for a lot of this season, and I think that could change. We could see even more of the old PG, and Kawhi Leonard, by all accounts, looks good. So, you know, that combined with their depth and the types of things that we saw in flashes during the regular season, I think I'd probably give the slight edge to the Clippers.
Sammy Amick, is there anybody outside of the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Raptors, whatever teams you would put on the very possible finals appearance list, are there any longer shots that you think have a real shot given the circumstances that we find ourselves in now?
Not really. I mean, the one that's at minimum, like, interesting to talk about just for talk radio purposes is Houston, you know, and the fact that they check some of the conventional boxes in terms of star power, and then they've got this incredibly, you know, unique, unprecedented approach that, you know, again, at minimum, like, people are dying to see how far they can take it or if it's just going to go down in a blaze of glory. And I'm talking, of course, about just extreme small ball and putting the ball in Russ and James Harden's hands and not having a big down low. That Clint Capella trade, you know, that was them going all in on Mike D'Antoni style. And there's another layer to this, of course, because Mike, their coach, is at the end of an expiring contract. And, you know, and you know, right now, if you're handicapping it, you know, what widely expected not to return. And so a lot at stake and maybe the end of the road for, you know, the team and its coach, but we'll see, you know, what they can do with it. But you know, it's also a team that to this point anyway has not been able to get over the top when it comes to these playoff moments.
See, I've got about 60 seconds left, but I want to get your take on this because you are a voter for these awards. Is there anything that can happen in the 8-game restart, so-called regular season, that would could shift your vote for MVP or Rookie of the Year?
I don't think so. I got Giannis for MVP, and I think it's a healthy margin between he and LeBron. You know, and I think that as spectacular as Zion Williamson was in his 19 games, when he came back, that, you know, everything that Ja Morant did before that, you know, has him as the guy there. And especially now that Zion left the campus, you know, that's another blow potentially to his candidacy. So, you know, for me, I think it's those two guys.
Sam Amick, you're a good man. You're a busy dude. Thanks for making some time for the Jim Rome Show, buddy.
You got it, Bill. Hope the family's well. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, dude. Same to you and yours. Sam Amick on the program, formerly of USA Today, now over at The Athletic. Great guy. Very, very good dude and knows his stuff. Worth a follow on Twitter if you're on the old Twitter machine on a regular basis. Sam_Amick. I think the smart money's on the Clippers. I'm not sure there is any smart money this time around because there's so much uncertainty. And I do think there are some long shots that are worth betting on. Hell, I think the Celtics, they were 16-1 a month ago. They were in the 12-1 range a couple weeks ago. I haven't looked at it since then because I might have put a few pennies down on the outcome. I love Boston. Top five offense, top five defense. I thought Tom Haverstraw made a good point yesterday that there's an advantage for Philly against Boston in that almost certain opening round matchup because of home court advantage not mattering for Boston. And that's a Philly team that plays badly on the road. But you know what? Philly's not in the same class as the Celtics. They're just not. Jason Tatum, emerging superstar. I like that Boston team with those odds. But if you're just looking away from trying to cash a long shot or a longish shot, Clippers, I think, and Amick reiterated this, they just feel like they're built for this exact time. Doesn't matter about chemistry. Doesn't matter about rhythm. It matters about getting in there, grinding it out, being an assassin. That is what they are built for. I think it's going to be a very, very effective outcome for this Clippers team. This very bizarre time. Derrick Henry got paid. Dak Prescott, we told you this yesterday, franchise tag. 11 other guys, franchise tag. We thought Henry, Titans running back, on the transition tag was going to be in the same boat. Nope. He got paid. Why it makes sense. And why, despite all the well-deserved hoopla for the Chiefs, keep your eye on the Titans. We'll dive into that when we come back here in a moment. I'm Bill Ryder here on the Jim Rome Show.